So we're looking at the Mishnah on Daf Tzadihei Amud Aleph, and we're talking about the Malach of Kotzer. Toleish me otzitz nokuv chayv. So we're talking about a perforated flower plot, and he cuts off the plant, and he's chayv mishum toleish, which is a told of Kotzer. But if it's a flower pot, she'eino nokuv, it's not perforated, potter. That's not called mechubel karka. It's not yonik min karka. And the only time you chayv from leches kotzer, if it's something is yonik min karka. Rav Shimon potter bazer bazer. Rav Shimon says that even in the case of an otzutz nokuv, that's not considered mechubel karka, and if he's not chayv mishum kotzer. Now the Gemara, since it quoted Rabbi Shimon, who patters you up in a case of an otzitz nokuv, the Gemara asks Akasha from what seems to be a contradiction from one statement of Rabbi Shimon to another. Rami le abai le rav, v'yamri le Rabbi Chir bar Rav le Rav. Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon poter bozeh ubozeh alma. We see from our Mishnah that Nokuv le Rabbi Shimon kisha eino Nokuv mashvile. He considers it as if it's not Nokuv. And there's no difference between Nokuv and she'eino Nokuv. It's always considered tolish min hakarka, it's not mechuv min hakarka v'minu. What are we going to do with another brisa that says Rabbi Shimon Omer ein bein Nokuv l'she'eino Nokuv? And here we're turning to Daf Sadihei Amud Beis. Elo lahachshir zroim bilvat. That the difference between otzitz nokuv and otzitz she'eno nokuv is a very fundamental difference. The only discipline or area in the halacha where they're equivalent is only as far as Hechshir Zroim is concerned. So in general, we equate the status of Otzitz Nokuv with She'eino Nokuv only as far as Hechshir Zroim. So for Zroim to be Mekabel Tuma, from, let's say, for example, a Nevelo or a Sheretz that falls on Zera, we need first that it be Mukhshal LeKabel Tuma. And that means that any of the following seven Mashkin would fall on the Zera, whether it's Yayin, Dvash, Shemen, Cholov, Tal, Dam, Mayim. That's called Yad, Shochat, Dam. And this is derived from a Pasuk in Vayikra Yud Aleph. There it says Mayim, but the Toras Konim derives all other Mashkim from Mayim, and the Hechshir LeKabel Tuma only applies when Mayim comes after it was cut off. In the case of an Otzitz Nokuv, which is perforated, since it's Yonek Min HaKarka, it has the Halacha of Mechubar. And the Zroim that grow, the plants that grow within this otzitz, are not mukhshal LeKabel Tuma from any mashkim that came on them, because as we said before, the halacha of makshirin with regard to the zayin mashkim is only if it falls on a plant after it was detached, and the status of an otzitz nokuv is that it's not detached, it's still growing from the ground, and therefore it's not mukhshal LeKabel Tuma. So in general, the din of otzitz nokuv is identical with that of eino nokuv, and even though it's eino nokuv, it's considered tolush, with the exception of hechshir zroim, that an otzitz nokuv is considered mechubar, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma through hechshir, if any of the zayin mashkim are machshir, it's not machshir. Otzitz she'eino nokuv is considered tolush, and therefore the Zroim inside are Mukshal LeKabel Tumah through one of the seven Mashkim. But anyway, we see clearly from this Braisa that Rabbi Shimon differentiates between Otzitz Nokuv and Otzitz She'ena Nokuv, at least with regard to Hechshir Zroim is concerned. And the Gemara thinks that we should create an analogy between Hechshir Zroim, as far as being Mukshal LeKabel Tumah, and Ktsira Meleches Tolesh on Shabbos. Both should be the same. To the same extent, an Otzitz Nokuv, since it's Yonek Menakarka, is considered Mechubel Akarka, and it's not Muksha through the Zion Mashkim. So too, as far as Meleches Tolesh is concerned, in the case of an Otzitz Nokuv, it's Mechubel Akarka, he should be Chai for Tolesh. Amalei, so Rava responded to Abaye, and it could be again Rabbi Chia, or Rav was responding to Rabbi Chia Barav, is L'chol Mili Rav Shimon Kitolish Mashvile. Rav Shimon identifies an Otzitz Nakuv as Tolish. V'shayni Linyan Tumah, as far as Hechsher Zroim are concerned, that Torah Ribso Tahara Eitzel Zroim. There's a special ribui in the case of Tara regarding Zroim plants. Shenemar, it says in Vayikra Yud Aleph, Al Kol Zera Zerua Asher Yizarea. And there's an extra ribu here, Lashonus of Zriya, in this pasuk that are going to teach us that with regard to Zroim, there's a Hechshel Kabel Tumah when it's Begeder Asher Yizarea. Kederach Sha'odam Motzi Lizriya. And that derech is Lizroa Zroim Shem Tlushim Legamre. Lemaik Shem Mechubarim. Af bechibur kol shehu kigon otzitz nokuv sheinu mekablim hechshir lekabel tumah. So again, our Mishnah is saying Rabbi Shimon poter bezeh bezeh, and he's coming to be marbe other laws. In other words, Rabbi Shimon would equate nokuv and sheinu nokuv with regard to other laws. However, with regard to hechshir zroim, that's not included in the general equation between Nokuv and She'enu Nokuv because the Torah was Ripsabo Tahara. And there's an easier way of being Tahar somewhere in Zroim. It's in the fulcrum, you know, the arrows that move either towards Tumah, towards Tahara. The Torah, in the case of Zroim, pushes the arrow and the scale tips towards Hechsher, meaning Tahara, excuse me. Which would mean that it makes it more difficult for it to be Mukshal LeKabel Tumah, and that's how we make it more tar, so to speak. And what we're going to say here when we see the extra words Asher Yizara, that when is it Tomei, when is it Mukshal LeKabel Tumah with one contact with one of the senses, that's when Asher Yizara, I know it's Kederech Shodom Motzi Lizriya. And generally speaking, when you motzi l'zriya, you take something that's tolish, you put it into the ground. But in the case where you have something that's already, you know, by its very nature, it's an otzitz nokuv, it's mechubar to the karka. That's not your classic derech of l'zroa zroim. And therefore, the Torah is telling you that these are tar, marba l'tara. And there's no Hechshir LeKabel Tumah because he did the Zriya in this unusual way through an Otzitz Nokuv. Boy Minei HaHusava, an elderly statesman, asked the following question, Mirab Zazera, in the case of an Otzitz Nokuv, is Shoresh Kenegin HaNekev, Mali, meaning Mali Omer Rabbi Shimon. What would Rav Shimon tell us in the case of an Otzitz Nakuv with the Shoresh Keneged HaNekev? Maybe here in this case he'd be Moda that it's considered Mechubar and he'd be Chayv for Meleches Tolesh because it's a Shoresh, the root of the plant, is directly opposite the hole of the flower pot. And in this case, Rav Shimon would probably be Moda, because since the root is directly opposite the hole, so it's not blocked off from the ground by any part of any utensil, so the root is attached to the ground. And if one plucks it off, he should be chai from leches toleish. That was the question that the Ahu Saba asked Reb Zera Ishtik, and Reb Zera did not give him an answer. He didn't say a word. Zimnin chada ashkeche, on another occasion, the same Zokain met with Rabbi Zera, the Yosef Ka'amar. And Rabbi Zera was saying, Umoda Rabbi Shimon Shim Nikev Bichdei Tarasso, that Rabbi Shimon is Moda, that if the Otzitz is Nikev Kidei Tarasso, the Otzitz is considered Mechubar, if the Nekev of the Otzitz is in a Shir Kazesh, Im Hayatome Kodem Lechena, Yenitar Al Yidei Shvira Zu. Klomar, im nikev bishur sheyochel lotzeis darko zayis v'lo rak mashe keneged a nekev nechshav mechubar el af kol azroim shebesocho kevon shenekev kozeh mevatel toras kli. The focus here is on the otzitz, and there was a nekev in the otzitz, so the otzitz is the kli. And that kli, in a certain sense, separates the plants within the flower pot from the ground. And if, for example, the otzitz is broken with a hole, kishir kazeh, that it's such a large gaping hole because of this breakage that if it had been tomei before, become tar through the shvira, and that's the shear of yachal otzis kedarko through this hole a zayas would go through. So the hole is large enough for a zayas. So the kli loses its shame kli as far as tuma. It's not susceptible to tuma. And even if it was already tomei, it would lose its status as tomei. And in this case already, Rabbi Shimon is going to say that, Rabbi Zeir is going to say that Rabbi Shimon is Moda, then in such a case, we view the Zeroyim as Mechubal Karka. There's no Kli, because the Kli has been broken, that would be Mafsik, the Zeroyim from the Karka. If there's no Hefsek, then in that case, Rabbi Shimon would be Moda, that you're certainly Chayav for Tolesh, because this is really Mechubra, the Otzitz is broken. So Amalei, when the Zaken heard this shear, so to speak, of Rav Zera, he turns to Rav Zera and he says to him, Hashta, now I have a question on you. Shoresh Kenegin HaNekev Boy Minoch, I had asked you a question about the case where the root is parallel to the Nekev. Right, what was the case there of the the case was that the root of the plant is directly opposite the hole of the plant, and in that case we had reason to believe that Reb Shimon would agree that since the root is directly opposite the hole, then it could nourish directly from the ground, and maybe therefore he'd be chayv mishum tolesh. We don't see the flower pot as a hefsek over here because the root is directly opposite the hole. And in that case, Lo Amrat Li Lo Midi, you weren't, Rabbi Zeir, you weren't willing to give me an answer. You still left it in your mind as a suffix. And perhaps it's not considered Mechubar. Again, even though now it's directly nourishing from the Karka. Is that Nike Bechdei Tarasavi Boy? It should go without saying that in the case where the otzitz had a nekev in it, a large, profound opening, a breakage, that even a zayis could go through, then this should certainly be a question as to whether or not we give it a din of mechubar. Here you're telling me that Nikev Kedei Tarasa is definitely considered mechubar. That's your shir now, right? And, just a second. And Moda Rabbi Shimon, Shem Nikev, right? And how much was the Nekev? It was Kedei Tarasa. Then certainly be chayev for Meleches Tolesh. Well, something's a little bit strange, because how could you be so sure that Rav Shimon would agree in the case of the Nekev that you'd be chayev for Meleches Tolesh? Now there are roots that are not directly opposite the whole, and yet you still called it mechubar because you sort of neutralized the atzitz, the kli. But what about my case? I mean, my case would seem to be even more obviously mechubar when the root is directly opposite the hole and nothing's blocking it off. And it should be, you know, in this case, it certainly should be yonek from the karka. Amar Abaye v'i itmar lahad Rabbi Zera. In other words, if we're going to say that what Rabbi Zera said, that Rabbi Shimon be moda yichay fetolish, in that case, that specific case where the utzitz was broken, now we consider it mechubar. Is hachi uditmar? Here's how we have to say it: umoda Rabbi Shimon shem nikev lemata miravis. That Moda's Reb Shimon, if the nekev, this breakage, this hole in the otzitz, in its bottom, is in such a way that the otzitz cannot hold the shear of a revius lug from the nekev and below, then it's considered mechubar. Why? Because the kli cannot be machzik revius, and therefore it's not considered a kli at all. So to try to analyze and clarify this back and forth, this dialogue between Rabbi Zera and Abaye, which is really not, if we want to be accurate about it, it's the Husaba and Abaye revolving around Rabbi Zera. We have to, you know, it's like a tug of war here. We have two principles or two elements that are operating on both sides of the equation, as far as whether or not we consider the contents, the plants inside the flower pot as mechubar or not mechubar. One is the yunika, and therefore if there's a direct relationship between the hole in the pot and the root that's inside the plant, then we intensify the yunika, and that's going to bring us to mechubar lekarka. On the other side of the equation, there's another variable, and that is the flower pot itself as a kli. And perhaps the reason why Rabbi Zera would hold it's not mechubar lekarka in the case of an atzitz is because the kli is mafsik between the plants and the karka. Now, in the Hahu Zaken's perspective, he thought that it wasn't the Rav Zera's analysis here, in which he said that that Nikev Kikones Mashke is tar. I'm sorry, what was the language again? Moda Rabbi Shimon Shem Nikev Bichdei Taroso. In such a case, there would be a din of Mechubar, and therefore you'd be chayv from Meleches Tolesh. Rabbi Shimon would be Moda in that case because it's Nikev. And the question is, where is this Nekev? Now, in order to appreciate the question of where is this Nekev, which is also again going to be part of the dialectic here between the Huzakin and Abaye, what we have to understand is that there's a nekev on top of the there could be a nekev on top of the otzitz, and there could be a nekev on the bottom part of the otzitz. And the difference would be as follows. If there's a nekev on the top of the otzitz, then the otzitz has not lost its shem kli, although, again, it might not necessarily function in its original capacity once it's got a real serious nekev in it, but still the bottom part of the otzitz can be reassigned and reallocated as a receptacle. And in the understanding of the Ahu Zaken of Rab Zera's Moder Rab Shim Nikev, he was talking about any nekev, meaning if the nekev is on top of the otzitz. Now, if the nekev is only on top of the otzitz, for example, then we really still have, to some extent, the shame kli. The kli is not batul mevutul, because, as we said, the bottom part of the flower pot could be used as a container, as a receptacle, and in that context, we'll call it a gustera. That's the Gemara's language. Gustera means a broken part of, let's say, a piece of pottery that can still be used to hold what's called a revius of yayin. That's a mishnah at the beginning of kalim. But if there's a nekev on the bottom of the otzitz, that's where Abaye is going to reinterpret Rab Zera's statement of Moda Rab Shimon. If it's on the bottom of the otzitz in such a way that if you would take what's ever left of the otzitz and pour liquids into it, it would not be able to hold onto that liquid. Now, the shear for a liquid is always a revius. That's the chshivas of a liquid. So now the question is, does the remaining part of the otzitz function in a capacity of being able to contain a revius of liquid, and therefore it's called a gistera, and it still has the same kli? Now, again, in the Ahu Zaken's frame of reference, he understood Rabbi Zeru was referring to any nekev, even if, let's say, the nekev in this otzitz was on the top. Now, if the otzitz has a nekev on the top part, then we're not able to really nullify the status of the kli, because, as we said before, because of the bottom part of the otzitz that can function in a different capacity as a receptacle, as a gistera, it still maintains some quasi-shem kli. And therefore, the Ahu Zaken, assuming that the statement of Rabbi Zera of Moda Rab Shimon was about a nekev on the top of the otzitz, then it couldn't be that the reasoning of Rabbi Zera, the logic of Rabbi Zera, is because of the nullification of the kli. Because, as we said, it still retains to some extent a little bit of shirayim of a shem kli as a gustra if there's no nekev on the bottom that would nullify the possibility of its holding on to a revius of liquid. So therefore, the Ahu Zaken understood that the Zimnin, etc., Moda Rabbi Shimon's statement of Rabbi Zera was more about a breakage in the flower pot that intensified the Yanika, meaning it made it Mechubar, and that's why Moda Rabbi Shimon that he bechayv Mishum Tolesh, because once there's a nekev in the kli, although the kli may still have a shame kli, but nevertheless, at this point, the plants are growing from the ground. So there's not so much of a kli that's mafsik, and therefore you can intensify that element of yanika. And therefore the Ahu Saba was very surprised. He said, wait a minute, when I gave you the question, I raised the issue of a case where there's a root which is directly opposite the nekev, and there, in such a case, there certainly is direct yanika, and yet you aren't sure about it, Rabbi Zera. You thought that Findesweg, and even so, maybe it's not called Mechubar, and Rabbi Shimon would not be Moda. Then how can you tell me in a case where there's a Nekev on top, and there's no direct relationship between the Nekev and the roots, and the roots below the Kli and the bottom of the Kli of this plant, and call that for sure mechubar, such that you be chayav mishum tolish? Well, why are you saying that that's mechubar? When I asked you about a case where the root is directly opposite the hole, you aren't willing to take the position and commit yourself that that would be moda Reb Shimon, that would certainly be mechubar lekak. There's something fluky here in the logic. And Abai says, no, let's reformulate Rabbi Zera's, you know, his drasha when he said Moda Rabbi Shimon im Nekev. What kind of Nekev was he referring to? He was talking about a Nekev Lamata, which means it's on the bottom part, the bottom level of this flower pot, in such a way that the flower pot could not retain a revius of yayin because of the profound breakage at the bottom of the flower pot, which means it's not a kli at all. It's not a gustra, it cannot be used in any sense, in any shape or form. And that's why Rabbi Zera said Moda Rabbi Shimon, that he's mechayev mishum tolish, and it's mechubar lekarka, because there's absolutely no hefsek between the plant and the karka. It's virtually as if the plant was growing in the karka, like any other mechubar lekarka. As far as the level of Yanika is concerned, whether at some point we're going to say, well, you know, even if the kli is broken up on top, or in the case where there's a hole that's exactly opposite the root, you know, in all those cases, you want to know whether or not there's enough Yanika to absolutely twist Rav Zera's arm to the position that for sure it's considered mechubar lekarka. That much we don't know. And therefore, your suffolk, Rabbi Zera, Saba, when you asked Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera said he didn't know, because that was a suffolk where there was a shame kli, and the hole was directly opposite the root, or say it the other way around, the root is directly opposite the hole. And now you try to be Mashiach in terms of Yanika, that maybe this is an intense Yanika, but again, you still always have the problem of the Kli, the Otzitz that's separating from the plant and the Karka. So it might not be, and here's where Reb Zera vacillated. But what case was Reb Zera absolutely convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this is mechubar lekarka? That's a case where the kli is completely null and void, because the nekev is even on the bottom part of the kli, and it cannot serve as a gistra to hold on to a revius of a liquid. Omar Rava, chamesh midos bekli cheres. Now we're talking about a kli cheres that has holes, and because of those holes, those perforations, it's going to have an impact on the status of this earthenware kli. And the first case on the list is going to be nikev kimotzi mashke. In other words, there's a perforation, a hole that was large enough to let out liquid, that the liquids would leak out of this kli cheres because of the hole. And in such a case, even though it's the smallest hole relative to the other four cases that we're going to talk about, but nevertheless, it does have an impact on the status of this kli. If it's at least large enough, it's not too small, but it's large enough to allow liquids to leak out. And in this case, we're going to say that it's tahar milatame gistera. In other words, if the nekev is kemotzi mashke, then Rava is claiming that this kli cheres does not have the level of tuma which is that of a kli because of its hole. The hole in the kli which allows liquids to go out. And that's called Torah Milatame Gistera. In other words, Gistera, we said before, is a receptacle that can hold on to a revius. And now this piece of earthenware, which we would consider a Gistera by virtue of the fact that it's still usable and it has a function, it loses its status as a Kli if the hole is large enough to cause the leakage of the liquid in the kli. So if you had a regular kli cheres, then it doesn't lose its status as a kli because of such a small hole. But if we're not talking about a regular kli cheres, we're talking just about a gistera, and it's basically has one function only, namely that it holds on to, retains liquid. Then once you have the small hole and it can no longer retain liquid, then it loses its shame kli. Now again, normally, if you have a regular kli cheres, you wouldn't throw it out just because it's a tiny leak. You would put the shard under something to catch the slight drip. In other words, this tiny leak can be said sort of like plugged up, so to speak, by a shard, a broken piece of the pottery that would catch that slight drip. And then it would maintain its status as a kli, despite the tiny hole. However, people, generally speaking, do not keep a shard that leaks, because using a leaking shard would require them to place another shard beneath the first one in order to catch its drip. So there's a drip that goes to the first shard, and you're going to have to catch that drip in the second shard. So the shard loses its status as a kli if there's a hole large enough for the leakage of a liquid. But then Vadayin Kliu, but however for other dinim, it still retains the status of a kli. Lekadish bo mechatos. Right, in order for a Tamei Mes to be Matar himself, we need that he be sprinkled Hazov mechatos. And that's spring water that's mixed with ash from a paraduma. Now for this mechatos to be effective, the spring water has to be placed into a kli. And Rav is now teaching us that if a utensil that has a hole that allows liquids to drip out of it, it's still considered a kli in regard to preparing mechatos when you collect the spring water into a kli, and later on you're going to mix it, of course, with Afer Paraduma. So we have here a slight, what I call a slight case of relativity theory. Now, with regard to certain dinim, you consider this kli to have a shame kli, and with regard to other dinim, it doesn't have a shame kli. So, for example, it might be susceptible to tumah because it does have a shame kli, and at the same time, it would have a shame kli for preparing the mechatas. And that's the thing. But as far as Latami Gister is concerned, there it loses its shame kli. So to explain Rava, we have an introduction here from the Masifta. He says, the din of Tumas kli cheres is such that cheres is mekabel tuma b'toras kli, and it could be mekabel tuma b'toras gistera, which is a shever kli, a shard, as we called it. So a stam kli cheres is mekabel tuma, in a general sense, b'toras kli. If it's broken into smaller pieces, and these pieces of earthenware are usable, then it's mekabel tuma b'toras gistera, which is a shever kli. And this is all in the second chapter of Masechta Kelim. Now, in the five midos, when Rav explains the first of the five midos, there's a kind of a hole that's mevatel the shem gistera, and it's no longer considered a shever kli. But that nekev is not mevatel the shem kli as a general shem kli with regard to a kli cheres shalem. It's still considered shalem. In the next midos, that we go to the next level, that come on the list of Rava, there are certain kinds of holes of nekavim that it's mevatel a little bit of the shem kli as far as one particular loch is concerned, and even as far as the kli cheres shalem is concerned, until finally we get the culmination, which is the midah chamishis, and there, there's a nekev that's mevatel completely the shem kli, and it's not mekabel tum at all. So let's go through again. We have the first midah, which is called nikav kimotzi mashke. That means the nekev is a very small nekev, and it lets out the liquid, and then it's tar milatame gister. It cannot be susceptible to tuma as a gistra, as a shard, because the tumas gistra depends upon its ability to serve as a receptacle for liquids. So again, the din of this kli cheres is that it's makabel tuma, but not betoras gistra, and therefore the presentation of Rav mentions the function of this kli, for example, as far as kiddush mechatas is concerned, where we said before that you need a toras kli in order to mix the afer of the para together with the mayim from the spring water. Okay, v'nosan all of mayim chayim el keli. Now, kolshken, how much more so does this kli cheres have the status of tuma b'toras kli? And once again, there's an introduction here. He says, imnikev cheres kishir motzi mashke shunekev katon biyoser yesh chiluk b'eze cheres midubar. In medubar becheres hamakabel tumah v'toras gistera. In other words, if we talk about a shard of a kli, and you can use it, but now as a result of this nekev, which is kamotzi mashke, it can no longer serve in that capacity, so there's no longer a tumah v'toras gistera, and therefore a bitar. But if you're talking about a kli sholem, which is makabel tumah v'toras kli, then it still retains its tumah status because it still has the status of a kli. And not only with regard to Kabbalah's tumah, but even as far as Kiddush Mechatos B'Efer Para, which really requires a kli that's roi, and this small nekev is not mevatel b'toras kli. Now the Gemara later on, Adaf Tzadivav, is going to explain the difference between a kli sholem, where if the hole is small, that it's only motzi mashke, that it's still makabel tuma, as far and in contrast to a gistera, where this small hole, which is kemotzi mashke, means it's tar. And that is because a kli sholem that has this nekev, we don't throw it out, but we say haba shever kli gistera. We say that it comes under kli gistera, and what we'll do is we'll put another something underneath it, and that'll receive and block any of the tipos, you know, the small sparks that come from it. So it's still royal atashmish. But if it's a gistera and as a nekev, then we don't say haba mi gistera li gistera. In other words, it's not worth anything. It doesn't have chashivas to put away and store it and say that, you know, it's a shever kli and we're going to put another piece of kli underneath it to catch the tipos. And therefore, it's already considered not roy l'shamish even as a gistra is concerned. So again, when Rava says tar milatame gistra vadayim kli hu l'kadesh, we're talking about really two different cases. The word tar is with regard to the shever kli, and when he says adayin kli u lekadesh, he's talking about a kli sholem. Let's go on to number two. And this is the second midah, is nikev kekones mashka. So we're talking about a kli cheres sholem that has a hole in it. The shear of that hole is kones mashke. In other words, when you put the kli onto the water, then the water can enter into this kli through this nekev, and that is a wider nekev than what we said about motzi mashke. It's kones mashke, because for the water to go in derech the nekev, when you put the kli onto water, on top of water, you would need a larger hole for the water to go in and flood the kli, so to speak. And in that case, since the nekev is even greater, Torah mil kadosh bo mechatos, it is already batel from a Torah's kli as far as kiddush mechatos is concerned. And when the Gemara says Torah mil kadosh bo mechatos, it doesn't mean as far as Tara is concerned. Well, Tara is not relevant to this din, but we're just trying to analyze and categorize the status of the kli, whether it's roy l'kadosh bo mechatos or it's not roy b'kadosh. And just like you remember the Gemara at the beginning of Brachas, Tar Yoma, it means over batel ayom. Here also it means batel mi l'kadosh bo kli cheres. I'm sorry, mechatos. Now this shear of Kones Mashke was formulated both as far as Kabbalah's Tumah B'Kli Asui L'Mashkin, which is again a sugya in Masech Kalim, and a Kli Asui L'Mashkin that has a Nekev that's Kones Mashke is tar from Kabbalah's Tumah. So Rava doesn't have to mention that Midah. That's included in the phrase Tar Mila Kadosh Bo Mechatos, because if there's a nekev of Kikones Mashke, that's going to be Mavato the Kli Mila Kadosh Bo Mechatos, even though it's still Roy L'Kabal Tuma, because of Tashmishe Ochel Shalo. Like, for example, you could use it to put Zesim in, right, Rimonim. So, how much more so to Kli Amyuchel Mashkin? When it has a nekev of Kones Mashke, that's Mevatel the Tashmish of the Kli. The Kli is designated for Mashkim, and now it's got a hole that's going to make it non-functional, and it's not considered a Kli as far as Tum is concerned. But Adayin Kli Ulahakshir Bozroim, so let's say, for example, you have plants inside this Kli, and the question is, are they Tlushim or Mechubarim? If they're Mechubarim, then none of the seven Mashkim would be Machshir. Because the seven Machshim, as we said, they're only functional to be Machshir and Tlushim. And now what we're saying is that this Kli is considered as if it were Tolush. It's Adayin Kli Ulahakshir Bozroim. It could be Maksha, the Zroim inside of it, that considered Tlushim, these Zroim, these plants, and they will be susceptible to Heksha, Tum of one of the seven Mashkim. The reason for that is because a Nekev that's this small is not Roy Lahariach Eslach Luchas Akarka. Okay, so that's a different concept here called Roy Lahariach Es Lachluchis Hakarka. So despite the fact that we have a hole large enough for liquid to seep through, nevertheless this hole is smaller than the width of a root, and it's too small for a plant to receive any significant amount of nourishment through it from the ground below. Therefore, even according to the Chachamim in our Mishnah, this zera, this plant, is considered tolush, meaning it's mukshal lituma, because in effect it has the same status as an otzitz she'eino nakuf, and that's called nikev kimotzi mashke. Now we go on to the third midah, and this is called nikev Kimotzi, just one second. Sorry. Nikev Shoresh Kata. So this is number three on the list. And this is a hole that's large enough. It's even larger than a Kones Mashke. And it's large enough for a Shoresh Kata, which means it's the size of a small root. So again, it's larger than the size of a Machnis Mashke, which allows the liquid to go in from the bottom inside the Kli, but it is the size of a small root. Now, if it's the size of a small root, then it's Tar Mila Hachshir Bo Zroim, which means again there's rhyme inside this this otzer sheni nakuv are not going to be makabel hechsher tuma. In other words, this is already considered mechubel karka, and it's a unika from the karka. And the reason for that is because the hole is the size of a small root, so the root will now gain its nourishment from the ground, and therefore this kli has the same status as otzins nakuv, and it's considered mechubar, and it's susceptible to tuma. However, tahar adayin kli lekabelbo zaysin. In other words, it still has the same kli, it still has a function, because you can use it as a receptacle for zesim, and it's makabel tumah toras, as we spoke about before, stam kli cheres, which is made for ochlin, because as long as it can be a receptacle for zesim, then it still has the status of a kli, and it is therefore makabel, it's makabel tumah. Then we get to the case of a larger hole, which is Nikev Kibotzi Zesim, in other words, even the Zesim will fall through the hole, is Tar, and here we have again a relativity theory that it's Tar Milakabal Bo Zesim, so it cannot be Makabal Tumah B'Torah Stam Kli Cheres, because the shear of Tara is Kibotzi Zayis, and it has that shear, but nevertheless, Adayin Kli Ulakabal Bo Rimonim, that if he would designate this kli for as a receptacle to hold on to pomegranates, which are obviously much larger than zesim, then from now on it could be makabel tumah. So even when we get to this level of the fourth level of nikev kemotzi zesim, it's still possible that you would have the status of a kli sholem, a kli cheres, if he would designate it for rimonim. Then finally we get to the fifth and last culmination category, and that's Nikev Kimotzi Rimonim. It can't even hold pomegranates. That's how large the hole is. Tar Mikulam. Miklum. It doesn't have a Shem Kli. It's not Mekabel Tumah Klal. And it seems that objectively this means it's Mufka from a Shem Kli. Now the only difference is that in this case, if he would put it away as a shard, as a shever kli cheres, it would have a status of a gistera. And that means it could be used whatever shimush is royal shever kli, which is again a mishnah in Masechta Kelim. And then it would be makabel tumah b'toras gistera. There's a very enlightening quote here from the Chazon Ish, that in the case of number 5 of Nikev Kemotzi Rimonim, if the owner of the kli would now designate it to contain something that's larger than pomegranates, you know, some sort of watermelon or something, then his designation would be completely null and void. It would not generate the status of a kli for Kabbalah's Tumah. But if he were now to designate this kli, which has a nekev kimotzi rimonin, as a gistera to stop leaks in other vessels, that would generate a status of Kabbalah's tuma, b'toras gistera, b'toras a shever kli. And v'im hukaf tzomid posil, which literally translates, it was surrounded by a sealed cover, and that prevents the entry of tumah on the outside of the kli cheres, is ad sheipaches rubo, until the majority of the utensil was broken off. So for this, we need a little bit of an introduction. He says that samid Pirish Mechubar, and Psil is called Kisui. So Tzomid Pasil means it's a Pasil, it's a covering, and it's Tzomid, it's really closed very well. Mechubar. Okay, fine. Now, what do we have to know about a tzomid posil? What we have to know is the following. That if a kli is makabel tumah from a mess, let's say, for example, an oel, a kli is together with a mess in one oel, which is tumas oel, then the Torah says with regard to a kli cheres, it's only makabel tumah mitocho, which means that if it has a sealed cover, okay, then the status of this kli changes. Without the tzomid pasil, then, as we said before, it contracts tumah mitocho and even me'aviro. But once you have it sealed with a cover, tzomid pasil, then it cannot become tome. And this is all in Parshas Chukas in Bamidbar Perek Yutes. So the Torah is now establishing that the sealed cover sort of closes off the interior. It's so same, it insulates the interior of the vessel, and any tumah on the outside could not penetrate through this tzomid pasil. So protects any content of the utensil, anything inside the utensil, from contracting tumah. So let's get back to Rava. Rava is now establishing that if you have a kli cheres that has its tzomid pasil, and it's located in a room together with a mess, and now there's a breakage in the kli. Now, half the utensil is still intact. Then the contents of the utensil remain tahor. And why? Because it's sealed with a tzomid pasil. Now, even though, you have to admit, the air of the room is going to penetrate through this hole, but nevertheless, the pasuk teaches us, with regarding to Tumas Oel, in the case of a Kli Cheres, that this Kli becomes Tomei if it's a Kli Pasuach. So Tumas Oel can enter into the Kli Cheres only through its natural opening, not through some sort of hole in the side of the kli. So as long as this utensil can be perceived as some sort of container of some sort, then its contents are considered as being closed inside of it, enclosed, and they remain tar. And that's called hukaf tzomid pasil, is ad sheyivchas rubo. So since you have half of the kli that is still intact, therefore the kli, the tzomid pasil, will function to protect the kli, the contents of the kli, from contracting tumas ohel from the mess. And then it says achi yifaches rubo. So again, if as a result of this hole in the utensil, half of the utensil is still intact, then the contents of the utensil remain tar. And even though, again, we said, as we mentioned before, the contents are exposed to the air of the room through the hole, but nevertheless, it's not called a kli pasuach. So that's achi yifaches rubo. When it's yifaches rubo already, it's not called a kli pasuach, and there's no way that it could protect the contents of the utensil from the tumah. Omar of Asi, Shamati Kli Cheres Shiuro Kimotzi Rimon. So far, so good. He says that the shear, as far as an earthenware utensil, is Kimotzi Rimon. Right? So we're talking about the prescribed measure regarding its hafkas tuma, for it's no longer makabel tuma, is if he has a hole that's large enough to that a pomegranate would pass through the hole. Oh, so this is l'chora against Rava, Because Rava said that an ordinary earthenware utensil will lose its susceptibility to tumah as long as there's a hole that lets olives in. Amalei Rava, so Rava said, when he heard this statement of Ravasi, he said, Shema lo shamata ela b'mukaf somid posil. Right, this was a quote of Rav Asi. I'm not sure where Rav Asi heard it from, but in any event, Rava says that maybe you heard this in the case of mukaf somid posil. So if it's mukaf somid posil, it's covered with a sealed lead, then tumah doesn't penetrate into it unless it has a hole the size of a pomegranate, because the utensil with a sealed cover requires a larger break to destroy its effectiveness as a chitzitza to form and serve as a barrier for tumah. With regard to its own tumah, this earthenware utensil loses its tumah status with the hole the size of the olive. That's what Rava said before. But if you're talking about its being effective as a barrier to tumah, then for that, if it was covered with a tzomid posil, then the tumah is protected. It doesn't pass through a hole that's the size of a pomegranate. And I said, unless it passes through the hole the size of a pomegranate. So the Gemara asks, wait a minute. For Rava hu d'yama mukaf tzomid posil shifaches rubo, that it doesn't depend upon the size of a hole of a pomegranate, but rather rubo. In other words, that the majority of the utensil has broken off. So how could Rava then say that according to Rav Asi, once you have a large hole enough for the pomegranates to pass through, there's no longer barrier, and the tumor would spread throughout the kli, the contents of the kli, when Rav himself seems to say it depends upon rubo. If the majority of the utensil was broken off, you know, that doesn't seem to shtim with a hole that's large enough for a pomegranate. Lo kasha, Gemara says that's not difficult. And here we turn to Daf Tzadivavam and Aleph. Haba Ravrave v'haba Zutri. When Rava said that it's somid posul is effective, and it's chotzeitz for the tumah within the, as far as the contents of the kli in the oil of a mess, and it depends upon whether the majority of the container was broken off, that's with regard to large earthenware utensils. But with regard to zutre, the second statement, that it all depends upon the size of a pomegranate hole, that's with regard to small earthenware utensils. Now, I don't know exactly what's considered a large utensil, what's considered a small utensil. That's not clear. Omar Ravasi says kli cheres shi'uro bakones mashke. In other words, the smallest hole that would be mafkia the shame kli is a hole which allows the liquid to flow through. And the liquid seeps, and it renders the earthenware kli unfit for a kiddush of mei chatos, as we said before. Hello, omru motze mashke, when we spoke about, so that was again kones mashke, so that's a hole where the water will seep through the hole inside into the kli that's situated lying on top of the water. But with regard to a motzi mashke, meaning an even smaller hole where the liquid will that's already in the kli will seep out, that's only linyan list gistera bilvad. You know, if you're talking about something that was designated as a listera, as a gistera, sorry, it's a shard, and if it has a small hole that's large enough to let the liquid leak out, even though it's not large enough for the liquid to seep in, but nevertheless it loses its tumah status as being royally tumah as a gistera. my time, what's the logic for this, that a hole that is too small for the hole that's too small is not mafkir the shame kli, even as far as gister is concerned. He says, my taima shenekev kimotzi mashke mevatel shame gister mishever kli, but eno mevatel shame kli mikli shalem. And the Gemara answers, Omar marzucha beredrav not lefisha enomrim have gistra legistra. In other words, we don't tell, you know, we're not going to say that this shever kli, well, you know, we really want to save it. We want to hold on to it. And we'll bring another gistra to fill in, you know, whatever leaks from the first gistra. So therefore, if there's a nekev that's even the small size of kimotzi mashke, we're not going to say, well, let's bring another shever kli, litzarech shever kli zeh, you know, one kli to a shever kli to work for another kli, so that we're going to put one thing underneath it that's going to pick up the tipos that draw from it, but rather we're going to throw it out, and therefore it's batel b'menu shem gistera. So even though he designated it as a gistra, but once there's a hole that the liquids would leak through this hole, then we're not going to try to salvage that with another gistra. It has no kshivas, and therefore it's batel mishem kli. But if you have a kli shalem, and it has a nekev of kamotzi mashke, that some liquids are squeezing through, then a person's not going to be so quick to throw it into the rubbish bin as a result of the small nekev, but rather he puts it under a... He puts underneath it some sort of shever kli that will receive the tipos that fall from it, and therefore it's not batel from a shame kli. Okay, then, and now we're up to Omar Ula. So again, back on Daf Tzadi Heyamid Beis, when we were discussing Rava, we spoke about an otzitz, a flower pot that had a nekev, which is kishoresh katan. That's the same size as a very small root. And we said that the zroim inside this otzitz that has this hole are considered mechubarim, and therefore there's no hechshel kabel tuma. So the Gemara now quotes a machlokas tanoim on this very point. Omer ula, pligi ba trei amoroi b'marava, Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Ovin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zavda, chad omar. According to one opinion, if you have a shear of a nekev to mivatu toris kli, as far as hechshel zroim is kemotze rimon, the chan amar, and the other opinion reflecting the sheet of rubber that we saw, is kishoresh katan. The simonaich, and if you want to make sure you remember this, that one of them says that echemem amar kemotze zayis, I guess that's the size of a shoresh katan. Right, which is, I see, that's the middle ground. That's somewhere between a shorish katan and a motzi rimon. Is then look at the language of the Mishnah at the end of Menachos. It says, echad amar b'vechad amabit, etc. And this lashon is going to be a simon, that one of the amoraim is going to be marbe, a sheer gadol of all these three shiurim, and that's going to be the motzi rimon. And the other one is going to say amamit, he's going to go to the other extreme, and that's the sheer katan of all three of them, which, as we said before, is it allows some mashkim to leak out. Omar Rav Chinina Bar Kahana Mishmeid Rabbi Eliezer Kli Cheres Shiuro Kemotzi Zesim Mark Shisha Brei Rabba Misayim Ba Mishmeid Rabbi Lezer Vare Heim Ki Kli Glolim Ukli Avonim Ukli Adoma Shein Mekablim Tuma Lomi Divrei Torah Lomi Divrei Sofrim Ulinid Somid Posil Achi Fochas Wachi Poches Rubo. So we're establishing that Rav Chinina, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, is arguing against what we had before in the name of Rav, because we had before in the name of Rav on Tzadi Heyamid Beis that if you have a kli cheres as a nekev kemotzi zayis, then it's tar milikabel tuma, unless he designates it for rimonim. Then it's mekabel tuma unless it has a nekev of kemotzi rimon. Now we're going to say that yichud is not meaningful as far as Rimonim is concerned, and a Kli Cheres, which is designated for Ochlim, Ishiru Kimotze Zesim, which means that if there's a Nekev the size of an olive can go through, and that's according to the first view. And then we have another opinion of Mark Shisha, and he said that there's a similar halacha that we could compare it to in the case of Motzi Zesim, that's called Kli Glolim and Kli Avonim and Kli Adama. And then I'm a Kabbal Tuma, not Midivrei Torah, not Midivrei Sofrim. And therefore, in the case of Kimotzi Zesim, there's a hole that allows the Zayas to go through in a Kli Cheres. Even if he were designated for Rimonim, then it would be the same as these other Kalim that we mentioned, Kli Glolim, Kli Avonim, Kli Adoma, which are not Mekabel Tum at all. And Le'inyan Tzim at Tzomid Pasil, to save whatever other contents there are in the Kli, Adshi Fachais Rubo, as we mentioned earlier. Now let's just say a few words about these types of Kalim, about which it says a Mekabelim Tuma, Lomi Divrei Torah, Lomi Divrei Sofer. And earthenware utensils that are, we have dung utensils, stone utensils, clay utensils. These are not regular earthenware vessels. They're not baked in what's called a kiln, K-I-L-N, and they're not mekabel tum at all. And we're equating now the case of a nekev, which is shi'uro kimotzi zesim. So utensils that have holes of the olive size are the same as these different stone kalim, etc., etc., and they're not makabel tuma. Now, as far as tzomid posa aloch is concerned, the sealed cover is adshi faches rubo, which we saw in the previous amud in the name of Rava, and that has to do with forming a mechitza to protect the contents of that utensil. And utensil that is surrounded by a sealed cover, which means that the majority of the utensil is still there. In other words, it can protect the contents of the utensil from being a kabel tumas mess, ad up until but not beyond the point of yifaches rubo. So if it's yifaches rubo, the majority of the utensil is broken off, then it would not serve to protect the rest of the contents of the kli from tumas mess. So that ends Perek HaMatznia, Hajin Alecha HaMatznia, and that leads us to Perek HaZorich.